Sabbath greetings, dear ones, and welcome to our main church service on this 31st day of October, the last day in the month, 2020. Welcome to those that are joining us on the phone, those that are listening to the recording, and a welcome, dear ones, to our fellowship today. I have one announcement. And that is beginning at 2 a.m. Sunday, so tomorrow, most of the United States is going back 1 hour to standard daylight time. And so the next time we meet is going to be an hour early, hour earlier for us, but those whose times do not change, it will be an hour later for you. So our brethren from Australia or the Philippines or other parts of that distant part of the world, be sure that you come an hour later for our services, starting this coming Monday and then Wednesday and Friday and Sabbath. So that you can be with us in fellowship. For us here on the West Coast and others across the nation, it's going to be an hour earlier for us, which works out an hour later for those whose time do not change. So that's the one announcement. And our opening song is titled, Give Me the Bible. Give me the Bible, star of gladness gleaming, to cheer the wanderer, lone and tempest-tossed. No storm can hide that peaceful radiance beaming, since Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Give me the Bible, holy message shining. Thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day.
Give me the Bible when my heart is broken, when sin and grief have filled my soul with fear. Give me the precious words by Jesus spoken, all life its lamp to show my servers near. Give me the Bible, holy message shining, thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day.
Give me the Bible, all my steps enlighten. Teach me the dangers of these realms below. That lamp of safety o'er the gloom shall brighten. That light alone the path of peace can show. Give me the Bible, holy message shining. Thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, law and love combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day.
Amen. And thank you, Father, for giving us thy word of life. Can comfort us, cheer us, encourage us, strengthen us, and bring to us the truth. Bring to us Jesus. We can have in our hearts to be the guide of our lives that we will not sin against him. Well, dear ones, please join with me in prayer. Precious Father, again, we thank you for thy word of life, for protecting it throughout all of these centuries and millennia, and granting it so freely available that anyone can obtain a copy if they really desire to. Thank you also for sending thy Spirit to open our understanding as we read in your word. And thank you, Spirit, for quickening us with the grace and the strength to follow what we read. And please continue to convict and convert us by your word. And we thank you that thy presence is here among us to lead and guide us as we delve into various methods of gaining the greatest benefit out of our study of your word of life. Be with those who were unable to attend. Grant them a wonderful, blessed Sabbath and bring them back into fellowship with us soon. Be with those that are hurting, that are struggling, that are dealing with affliction, and please reveal the Savior to them as a deliverer, a healer, a helper, a comforter, and one who can know precisely how to be saved. And thank you so much for doing so. We also thank you that your truth is spreading around the world and lightening it with the glory of our God. And soon every decision will be made based upon the light of truth that shines upon them. And then we can go home. Help us to get ourselves ready and prepared to meet Jesus when he comes in the clouds of the air. And thank you for helping us step by step, little by little, to be ready. So we thank you, dear Godhead, for helping us to understand the truth. And thank you for your love in giving it to us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. This is part 7, our final part in this series on how to study the Bible. And for those that would like to follow along with the notes and quotes I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/ID1157.htm. Now, if you look at quote number 1, our opening text is from 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And we've learned that there are 8 main methods that helps you to study the Bible, which have proven themselves to be of the greatest value and benefit in helping you gain the most from your study time. The first was the comparative method. The second was the analytical method. The third was the synthetic study of the Bible. The fourth was the prophetic study of the Bible. The fifth was to study the Bible by topics or themes. The sixth was to study the Bible from an historical basis. The seventh was to study the Bible by books. And the eighth was the sword method of Bible study. And we've already investigated into the first six of these methods. And last time we discovered what the topical or the thematic study of the Bible was, as well as the historical study of the Bible. And regarding the topical or thematic study, we learned that this method involves choosing a particular topic or theme that's in the Bible, and then looking up every text dealing with that subject, putting them all together so that you gain the full and complete truth on that subject. Regarding the historical method, we discovered that since the Bible is the greatest history book of all time, then you can use the Bible to accurately trace the history of creation, the history of individuals or nations, civilizations, etc. And when you combine Bible history with other trustworthy historical books, then you will be able to gain the most thorough and complete historical record available on that particular area. And it's quite fun to do. Now, today we'll investigate into the last two methods of studying the Bible, which are Bible study by books and the sword method of Bible study. So study method number 7, dealing with Bible study by books. And if you look at quote number 3. One of the most interesting ways of studying the Bible is by choosing one of its 66 books and then thoroughly studying that book. So this involves reading the entire book through from beginning to end, learning everything you can about the book, discovering what its central theme is, who are its main characters or individuals, and especially what it has to say about the gospel of Jesus Christ and any other doctrinal teachings. So that's what's involved. And there's a number of key points that you will need to keep in mind when you're studying the Bible by books, which will help to make your study much more interesting and profitable. So instead of being dry, it will come alive as you keep these points in mind. The first is discover who wrote the book. What was their character like? And what other portions of the Bible were written by them? Like with the disciple John. He not only wrote the book of John, one of the Gospels, the four books of the Gospels, but he also had three other letters or books that he wrote, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. The second point to keep in mind is that discover when the author wrote their book. And you could also investigate into what the conditions of life were for that author when they composed it. The third key is to discover where was their book written? Under what circumstances was it written? Was it composed while they were in prison? Or perhaps in a cave? Or banished from their country? Or was it composed in the wilderness? So find out under what conditions and where their book was written. The fourth key is to discover whom the book was addressed to. Was it addressed to a church group, to a particular nation or race? Was it directed to an individual, Or was it just general instruction, or perhaps even an historical record? And the last key to keep in mind is discover if the book was written to correct some sinful condition or combat some doctrinal error. And in having this particular key in mind, it will help explain why, if you choose the book of Romans, why Paul was writing this book emphasizing justification by faith. And then when you get to the book of James, you'll be able to understand better why he emphasized the importance of works in connection with faith. So Paul was combating a particular area of the lack of understanding justification by faith when he wrote to the Romans, and that's why he focused a lot on that particular area. Whereas James focused more on the importance of works in connection with faith and not so much justification by faith, because he was combating the other extreme area of not understanding that faith and works go together. So those are the five key areas to keep in mind, or key points when you're studying the Bible by books. But you want to try and gain a general, clear knowledge of the purpose, the scope, and the spirit of the book that you're studying. So this will help you to understand that book more fully and thus gain greater benefit from studying it. So if the book you want to study is not too large, then read it through at one time and don't pay attention to chapter divisions, because sometimes the chapter breaks right in the middle of a thought that's being brought out, or the middle sometimes the theme that is being discussed. And it's unfortunate that the chapter ends there and then begins later. So don't pay attention to chapter divisions, but read it through and then go back and consider the book in smaller sections if you want to do so. But read it through at one time if you can. But if the book is too large, such as Psalms, 150 chapters. If the book is too large, then you can divide the number of chapters it has into 3 or 4 parts, or perhaps even more parts, and then read each particular part or number of chapters at one time. And then the next time you study, read the next group until you've read the whole book. And then you can go back and pay more attention to different portions of what you read. And for those that are using this Bible study by books method for the first time, it might be better for you to start with a small book like Obadiah or Philemon, or perhaps Jonah or even James. Start with a small book, and with the experience you gain from going through that small book, it will help prepare you to then be able to take on the larger books in the Bible. So this is the method of studying the Bible by books. And now we come to the last Bible study method, which is the sword method. And if you look at quote number 4, what is the sword method of Bible study? This method is one of the easiest ways to study the Bible, and even children can learn to use it, and they can even teach others how to use it. But even though it's easy to learn and to follow this method, yet there can be gained wonderful and amazing insights by studying the scriptures with this method. So even though it's easy, yet you can gain profound insights by using this. Now you'll see there a picture of a sword. Two-edged sword, in fact. And notice here, as we look at this picture, the sword is pointing upward toward heaven and God, while the handle of the sword is pointing downwards towards earth and man. So if we apply this sword to any Bible verse or passage that we're reading, we would first see if the scripture that we're studying mentions anything about God. The sword's pointing up. So see if the passage mentions anything about God. And then next, see if it mentions anything about man, including yourself. So in recognizing this very simple method, you see the picture of a sword. It points up to God and down towards man. So that is how you would view any scripture, text, or passage that you're studying. What does it say about God? And what does it say about me or others? So that is the very simple sword method. But as you study into the Bible, you will recognize that not every text or passage is limited to only talking about God or man. But it deals with other subjects as well. So this means that we need to expand our search area, that there needs to be more to the sword method. And so let's inspect this sword more closely. And please remember this word, inspect. So here again is the picture of the sword. And this is quote number 5. So when we inspect this sword more closely, you'll notice that it has 7 distinct parts. You have the point of the blade. You have its 2 sharpened edges. You have the front of the blade. And of course, there's the back of the blade. Then you have the handle, which is called the hilt. And then you have the guard that protects the hand from being harmed while in battle. So you have the point, you have the 2 edges, you have the front and the back of the blade, you have the hilt, and you have the guard. So now, with this picture in mind, let's use this more complete sword method in studying the Bible. So again, the point of the sword points up to God. So this would again lead you to ask the first question of the text or the passage you're studying. What does this text or passage instruct me about God the Father, or God the Son, Jesus Christ, or God the Holy Spirit? The handle, of course, is pointing down to man. So the next question, does this text reveal anything to me about myself, or people, or mankind? So again, the very same first 2 questions are asked. But the sword has the left sharpened edge as well as the front of the sword. So then this would involve 2 other questions. And these 2 questions are, does this text reveal a sin to be avoided? The 4th question, does this text reveal a promise to keep? So that's the left edge and front of the blade. So then the right edge and back of the blade would involve 2 other questions. These questions would be, does the text reveal an example to be followed? And the sixth, does it reveal a command to obey? And then we finally have the guard. The seventh question involves asking, what central truth is this passage teaching me that protects me from harm, just like the guard would? So going from the two questions with the easy sword method, or the simple sword method, we now have expanded it to seven simple questions on the complete sword method. And to help you remember these seven questions, you can use the acronym INSPECT. And INSPECT stands for the I, instruct. What does this text instruct me about God, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit? The N stands for need. What do I need to learn about myself, people, or mankind? The S would stand for sin. What does this text teach me about sin to be avoided? The P would stand for promise. Does this text have a promise in it that I can keep? The E would stand for example. What does this text reveal to me about an example to follow? The C stands for command. Is there a commandment I need to keep in the text? And the T stands for truth. What truth is given that protects me from harm? So INSPECT helps you remember the seven questions. And here we see a sword with INSPECT. And again, INSPECT stands for the I, instruct me about God, Jesus, or the Spirit. The N is what do I need to learn about myself, people, or mankind. The S stands for sin. The P stands for promise. The E stands for example. The C stands for command. And the T stands for truth. INSPECT. So that's the complete sword method. And you can see that it is still a very simple and easy method to use on any text or scriptural passage in the Bible. And yet these seven simple questions can lead you to discover some amazing spiritual insights and truths out of the scripture that you're studying. And this includes even those scriptural passages that you're very familiar with. You'll be amazed what you can discover by asking these seven questions of the text that you're studying. Now, let's give an example. If you look at quote number six, let's look at Luke chapter 19, verses 1 to 10. And most of you are familiar with this passage. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was the chief among the publicans, or tax collectors, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press or the crowd, because he was of little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. So now let's apply the complete sword method to this passage. So then the first question that we're going to ask is, what does this Bible passage instruct us or instruct me about God, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit? Well, the first that you'll discover is that Jesus knew Zacchaeus's name, even though they had never met. So then this would reveal to us that God cares for us as individuals because he knows us by name. The next instruction we can gain from this passage is that Jesus wanted to stay at the home of Zacchaeus, which was a shock to other religious people. So then this would reveal to us that both God and Jesus view people differently than we do. Another instruction we gain from this passage is that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. So then this would reveal to us that God cares for us and that he does not want any of us to be lost. So this is what instruction about God, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit we can gain from this passage. But remember to write down any thoughts you have so that you can then go back over your thoughts and over these passages and see if you can gain any further insights that you might have missed when you read it the first time. So that's the first question, dealing with the I in inspect. The second question deals with the in. What do I need to learn about myself, people, or mankind from this passage? The first is that we learn that Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus for himself. So this would reveal that we also need to make the effort to see Jesus for ourselves. The next thing that we learn is that Zacchaeus responded with joy when Jesus asked to visit his home, and that he opened up his home for Jesus to come and stay in. So then this would reveal to us that when Jesus asks to stay with us, as he does in Revelation 3:20, that we should also respond with joy and open the door of our hearts to him. The next thing we discover is that Zacchaeus wanted to make things right with anyone that he had wronged after he had met with Jesus. So this then reveals to us that after we have met with Jesus, then we should also want to make things right with anyone whom we have wronged. And another thing that we learn about people in this text is that some people were upset with Jesus because he decided to stay with Zacchaeus, because they looked upon Zacchaeus as being a great sinner that was not worth saving. So then this would reveal that we need to see people through the eyes of Jesus and not through our own eyes or the eyes of others. And that we need to realize that all people are worth saving, not just some. So that's what we need to learn about ourselves or people or mankind from applying the second sword method, dealing with the end. Now the third method dealt with sin. If you look at quote number 8, does this passage reveal a sin that needs to be avoided? And the answer is yes. We also need to avoid robbing others by theft, fraud, or any other manner of stealing from them, which would include non-monetary stealing. And non-monetary stealing would be such as stealing away the influence of another or the reputation of another because we are spreading rumors or evil surmising about them. That would make us guilty of fraud and theft. But also another non-monetary area would be stealing away the health of other individuals by causing them unnecessary problems or adding to their stress, etc. So there is a sin brought out in this passage that we need to avoid. Now, that dealt with the S of inspect, and now we're dealing with the P, which is represented by a promise. So the fourth question, does this passage reveal a promise to keep? And the answer is yes. Jesus said that he was come to seek and to save the lost, which would include us all, not just Zacchaeus. So then we need to claim that promise that Jesus has come to us to save us from being lost. So that dealt with the P for promise. Now on to the E for example. Does this passage reveal an example that we need to follow? And the answer is yes. There are several examples there. The first is that Zacchaeus would not allow any circumstance or physical limitation to get in his way from being able to see Jesus for himself. Zacchaeus was small, the crowd was large, so Zacchaeus ran ahead and climbed a tree so that he could see Jesus for himself. So this example reveals that we should not allow any circumstance or even physical limitation to keep us from seeing Jesus for ourselves. But we would need to find a way to overcome these so that we can find the Savior. So if circumstances or physical limitations gives you a bunch of sour lemons in life, then make lemonade out of them so that you can find Jesus and salvation. Another example that we see in this passage is that Zacchaeus showed by his actions how his heart had been changed after he had met Jesus. So then we should follow this example ourselves after our heart has been changed from meeting with Jesus and make things right with anyone that we have wronged. And another example this passage reveals is that Jesus came specifically to Zacchaeus in order to save him, even though others thought that Zacchaeus was worthless. So then we should follow this loving example ourselves and specifically come to others in order to save them. So that deals with the E for example. Now let's move on to the sixth question, dealing with the C for command. If you look at quote number 10. So does this passage about Zacchaeus there in Luke 19 reveal any command for us to obey? And the answer is yes. If we are guilty of robbing others, then we also need to restore to them what we stole and to also give them additional interest. And you can find that command listed in Exodus 22, 1 to 15, and Leviticus 6, verses 1 to 5. But we also find it there in Luke 19, because after Zacchaeus was doing that, Jesus says, now salvation has come to you. And the last, the T out of inspect, which is truth. So does this passage reveal a central truth that will protect us from harm? And the answer is yes. If we also accept Jesus, then he will give us salvation and protect us from suffering everlasting death, the lake of fire. He will save us from that second death. So that is the sword study method in its more complete form. And you can remember the seven questions that we found on the sword by remembering the acronym INSPECT, INSPECT. Now, you need to recognize that not every text or scripture passage is going to answer all seven of these questions like our example did in Luke. Perhaps the passage that you read may only answer one or two or more questions, but not all seven. And because it doesn't answer all seven, don't become discouraged and believe that you've made a mistake, or try to force the passage to answer all seven when it's not clearly presented there. But these questions are there to aid you in gaining as much out of each text or scriptural passage as is possible to gain. So it may only answer one, and that may be the only insight that you can gain from that text. But others may answer five, or perhaps all seven, as we've seen with the passage in Zacchaeus. So that's the sword method in both the easy form, just dealing with God and man, as well as the more complete form, dealing with a lot more areas. So now we've examined the eight main study methods that are designed to help you gain the most benefit out of your study time in God's Word. But we're all different. What appeals to one may not appeal at all to another. So then see which one or more of these eight study methods appeals to you. And then utilize it or utilize them in your study of God's Word. But the most important thing is that you study for yourself. If you look at quote number 11, again our text, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study for thyself. Also in Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So, dear ones, study for yourselves Because if you will not take the time to study God's word of life for yourself, then it may just cost you eternal life. We're told in Acts 13, verse 46, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. So, dear ones, don't put the word of God from you and refuse to study it, but instead joyfully receive it and study it to learn more about God, more about yourself or mankind, more about sin, more about promises, more about righteous examples to follow or unrighteous examples not to follow, more about the commands of God to obey, and more about the truth of God that protects you from harm, especially the second death. So inspect God's word for yourself. And may God help each one of us to study for ourselves and thus gain for ourselves the divine heavenly wisdom that will lead us to everlasting life in Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer. Our closing song is "The Bible Stands." The Bible stands like a rock, undaunted mid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal, and they glow with a light sublime. The Bible stands though the hills may tumble. It will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
A Bible stands like a mountain towering far above the works of men. Its truth by none ever was refuted, and destroyed they never can. The Bible stands though the hills may tumble. It will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation. For the Bible stands.
The Bible stands, and it will forever when the world has passed away. By inspiration it has been given, all its precepts I will obey. The Bible stands though the hills may tumble. It will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
Goodbye. And every test we give it, for its author is divine. By grace alone I expect to live it and to prove and to make it mine. The Bible stands though the hills may tremble. It will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation. For the Bible stands.
Amen. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word remains standing. If we have God's word in our hearts, then we will stand with his word in the end and not be lost. And the word of God is Jesus Christ. In standing with the truth of the Bible, you're standing with Jesus, the author of truth. And in standing with Jesus, there's nothing that the devil can do that will cause you to lose salvation. He can't take you out of the hands of Christ. May we stand with him, come what may, and be able to follow him throughout ceaseless ages of eternity. And what a joy it is to follow Jesus. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for giving us thy word, for preserving it from all the attempts of the devil through his agents to destroy it and to keep it from us. Thank you for delivering us from the dark ages and allowing the scriptures to be readily available for any of us to obtain a copy of our own so that we can study it for ourselves. Thank you for also allowing the internet to have the Bible freely accessible to read at any times. And thank you especially for giving us the Spirit when we ask for him to help us understand thy word. And not just to understand it, but to give us the courage, the grace, and the strength to follow your word. Thank you so much for loving us enough that you sent Jesus down to die for us and to bring to us the truth. Help us to love him enough to follow him. Enough to change our lives to be more like his. Enough to allow the truth to work within us a transformation from sin to righteousness, from death to life, from bondage to freedom. Thank you for making a way of escape that we might truly be able to live and to have life more abundantly. Please be with those who are afraid to study or believe that they can't study for themselves because they're not intelligent enough. Be with those that don't want to study for themselves because they're afraid that it's too hard to learn, or perhaps they don't want to take the time. please impress upon them that nothing is too hard for God. And if they will decide and take the step in opening the Bible, that you will help them and aid them with thy Spirit to learn and understand, to comprehend and to grow in knowledge and in wisdom and in the ability to study. You will teach them how, if they will just take the time and do it. And thank you that the Bible is possible even for a child to understand. But thank you so much for giving us this word of life and for revealing your love in doing so. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. And amen. So that is the different methods that you can use in studying the Bible. And it's not an exhaustive list. There's other methods that people have been benefited by using, but these are the eight main ones that can help you gain the most out of your study time. And with today's hectic society and study time being limited, gaining the most out of the time you spend is well worth it. So are there any questions, any comments, thoughts, testimonies, songs that you'd like to sing or requests that you'd like to have some songs sung? Please go right ahead, dear ones. Sabbath blessings to you too, dear brother and family. I'm glad you're with us in fellowship.
Do you have the hymn, More About Jesus Under the Rock? More about Jesus I will know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me, more about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of his saveness, fullness see, more of his love who died for me. If anyone of the dear brethren would like to take any of the verses, we can unmute.
More about Jesus let me learn, more of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More about Jesus. More about Jesus. More of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me.
More about Jesus. More about Jesus in his word, holy communion with my Lord, hearing his voice in every line, making its faithful saying mine. More, more about Jesus. More, more about Jesus. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me.
More about. Got it, sister.
Oh, go ahead, sister.
We want to do it together?
Reaches in glory, oh,
on his home. More of his giving, God shall increase. More of his calm imprint of peace.
More, more about Jesus. More, more about Jesus. More of his saving fullness see. More of his love who died for me.
Amen.
Amen.
I have one more hymn and then I will bubble up. Redeem. Redeem, how I love to proclaim it. Redeem by the blood of the Lamb. Redeem through his infinite mercy. His shalom forever I am. Redeem, redeem, redeem by the blood of the Lamb. Redeem, redeem, his shalom forever I am. Redeem, I'm so happy in Jesus. No language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of his presence with me does continually dwell. Redeem, redeem, redeem by the blood of the Lamb. Redeem. Redeem, his shalom forever I am. I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of him all day long. I sing for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song.
Redeem, redeem,
redeem, redeem by the blood of the Lamb. Redeem, redeem, his shalom forever I am. I know there's a crown that is waiting, he and the bright mansions for me. And soon with the same made perfect, at home with the Lord I shall be. Redeem, redeem, redeem by the blood of the Lamb. Redeem, redeem, his shalom forever I am.
Thank you, Daddy and Joshua.
I would like to go back to our discussion last night about restrictions being put on the freedom of speech through the internet. On November 14th, 2019, Pope Francis hosts Microsoft, Amazon, Facebook, Google, and Apple to demand that they censor content on the web in the name of child protection. That's according to the Jesuit Review. Within 2 or 3 days after I saw this, they began censoring very openly, and it has only gotten more profound. 3 of these media CEOs were brought before Congress last week, and their answers were vague and non-revealing. I am grateful that God gives us pieces of the end-time puzzle to help us understand the plan being played out and to speak with authority as it fits with end-time prophecy. We have visual evidence that Pope Francis is calling the shots, and these social media people have all agreed to comply. So we don't need to wonder if it's Russia, China, the FBI, as the instigator of the oppression, it's the Pope of Rome. These restrictions, as you know, are happening all around the world according to their own reporting. Thank you.
Amen. And a thank you, dear sister. And I found it quite ironic that I read a passage from, it was a blog from one of the Catholic institutions claiming that we need to make sure that America preserves religious liberty. I thought it quite ironic that they would say something like that, because the Catholic Church is not in favor of any kind of religious liberty if it goes against Catholic dogma. And that includes the freedom of religion that's in the Constitution of America. You can go to our website in the Amazing Catholic Statement section and find what the Catholic Church stand is on religious freedom. And you will be quite amazed about how intolerant they are when it comes to individuals saying something that they disbelieve or view as heresy. And anything that is contrary to Catholic dogma is heresy to them. So that's why heretics were hunted down and burned at the stake, or put on the rack and tortured, or thrown into the dungeon and basically forgotten about, because they believed something different than what the Catholic Church said was true. So that's the Catholic Church's version of religious freedom. As long as it agrees with their teachings, then you're free to say it. But when it disagrees with their teachings, then you have no freedom to teach it. So you're very correct, dear sister. The Catholic Church is indeed wanting the freedom of religion to be censored in America and around the world if it goes contrary to Catholic beliefs. So thank you for sharing that. Are there any other thoughts or comments or songs that you'd like to bring forth, dear ones? And please go right ahead.
I would also like to say that within 2 weeks, I lost 2 friends. One was, he was an Adventist young man, and he died of the virus, which was a very big shock. The other person was one who had a lot of problems mentally. He couldn't seem to overcome alcohol, and his life was a mess. But he loved to talk with me about God and about spiritual things. And but he could never make a decision. In fact, he came one Sabbath morning to listen to our service, but then he panicked and had to leave. He just couldn't do it. But he was living in a place where it was very questionable. And he hated to be there. He hated everything that went on there. And there were four of us that he just begged for us to take him in, and he would live in the basement if he could just get out of there. And I told him, I said, I'm not your help. I said, God is. God can deliver you from that place. But I said, what then will your life be like if he does deliver you? Will you change? Will you live for him from that time on? I talked to him about a week before he died. About 3 days before he died, he was, you might say, propositioned, and he wouldn't go along with it, and he was strangled to the point of unconsciousness. And he told friends that he feared that they were going to kill him. It wasn't long after that they found his body, his billfold, his computer, and something else was stolen. I think his billfold was stolen. The police came in, and it's all now under investigation as a murder. And my heart is just heavy. I knew I couldn't take him in, but I so wanted him to have the courage to trust God. And now his life is forever sealed. Thank you.
I'm so sorry, dear sister. Thank you for sharing, but let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can come to you through Jesus in any time of need. And we come to you now that you will send your spirit to comfort our dear sister and also to comfort the family members of those that have lost their loved ones. And we thank you, Spirit, for being our comforter and encourager, that when we recognize how fragile and uncertain life is, that we can look up to the Savior and to make sure that we are ready for our life to end, possibly later today or at some point in the future. And that we have the assurance of salvation in Jesus Christ. But we thank you for the comfort that you give. And thank you for being especially close to our dear sister at this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So our thoughts and prayers are going to be continued to be with you, dear sister, and keep looking up. Are there any other thoughts or comments, questions that you'd like to share, dear ones? And please go right ahead. This hymn was suggested. Very appropriate. I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee.
with me every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
I need thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide, or life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
I need thee every hour, teach me thy will, and thy rich promises in me fulfill. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee.
Beautiful. I need thee every hour, most holy one. Oh, make me thy indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, all I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior,
I come to thee.
Thank you, Daddy. I need the prayers of those I love, while traveling o'er life's rugged way, that I may true and faithful be, and live for Jesus every day. I want my friends to pray for me, to bear my tempted soul above, and intercede with God for me. I need the prayers of those I love.
I need the prayers of those I love to help me in each trying hour, to bear my tempted soul to Him, that He may keep me by His power. I want my friends to pray for me, to bear my tempted soul above, and intercede with God for me. I need the prayers of those I love.
I want my friends to pray for me, to hold me up on winds of faith. Thank you, Papa. That I may walk the narrow way, kept by Father's glorious grace. Don't leave me, come. I want my friends to pray for me, to bear my and in I need the prayers of those I love. I need the prayers of those I love.
Love you, baby.
Amen. Amen. And our prayers are for all of you, especially our dear sister Dixie and others that are sorrowing or suffering. And thank you, dear ones, for your prayers for me and mine as well. Well, dealing with how short time is and how short life is and the need to get the message out, this hymn comes to mind. There's a call comes ringing o'er the restless waves. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light, send the light. And a golden offering at the cross we lay. Send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. Let us pray that grace may everywhere abound. Send the light, send the light. And a Christ-like spirit everywhere be found. Send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore.
Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, send the light. Let us gather jewels for the crown above. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore.
Amen. And it's always good to have our patriarchs singing hymns for us. And it's good to hear Brother Rodolfo as well singing. Wonderful. Dear ones, are there any other songs or thoughts or comments that you'd like to make, dear ones, or testimonies that you'd like to give before we close today's service? And please go right ahead. Well, thank you, dear brother, and have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath yourself. And we look forward to fellowshipping with you all again soon. Remember, women's meeting is Mondays at 6, and we have falling back to standard daylight time. So for those that don't have a change in their clocks, that occurs on Sunday. We'll be meeting an hour later for you, but for us it's an hour earlier. So Mondays at 6 p.m. Pacific. And then midweek church service, Wednesdays at 6 Pacific, and then Friday Sabbath services beginning at 6 p.m., and then our Sabbath service begins with the children's lesson at 9:30 in English, or it will be 7:30 for the Spanish children's lesson right here in this home church. So remember, 7:30 Sabbath morning for the Spanish children's service, and then 9:30 for the English, and then the rest of the Sabbath services. So we hope to see you, dear ones. And until then,
keep looking up.
Looking up.
Keep looking up. Thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest cloud will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking up. This patriarch is losing his voice.